Greetings, Tacoma. John Doherty here once again for KTAH 101.9's Climate Talk program. Happy to be with you today, bringing you some background and some facts related to climate, the future, always presented in a respectful way, interested in your opinion as well as the stuff I put forward here. So you can email me at any time to Tacoma@citizensclimatelobby.org. Yeah, Citizens Climate Lobby and the educational wing, Citizens Climate Education, is an important part of what's going on with the climate, and I encourage you to do a Google on the organization and see if maybe it's something you'd like to chip in with, chip in terms of your time, effort, not your money. And also, you know, there's lots of other good organizations out there that are concerned about the environment and the future of our world. And so I encourage you, whatever the case, get involved, get active with somebody. Most of all, stay informed. It's hard to be excited about climate. We've got a kind of a slow motion train wreck going, and there are lots of other things that demand our attention. So I'm just going to suggest that you give as much attention to climate as you would if you're planning on buying a new refrigerator or a new car or a new house, something like that. So speaking of which, that's the topic of my comments today, electric vehicles. Turns out I have an electric vehicle. Full disclosure, I have a 2018 Nissan Leaf that I purchased new right here in Tacoma. I love the vehicle, and it's part of the reason why I'm talking to you about electric vehicles today, is just the fun of owning such a cool vehicle. I have an important caveat right at the outset. Making the decision to buy an electric vehicle is not an easy one. We're concerned about performance, range, cost of paying for the electricity, what subsidies or other incentives can I get from government here and there. And so much depends on how your electricity is generated, where you live exactly, and so on. So understandably enough, I'm going to be pretty much zeroed in on Tacoma, but that doesn't change the fact that you really need to do your homework when making the decision about whether to buy an electric vehicle or not. Hopefully I can give you some thoughts along the way here that will trigger some areas that you might want to look into that you might not have looked into otherwise, or you might just decide, hey, electric vehicle turns out might be a pretty happy thing to have in my future. So let's start off talking by one thing that's near and dear to all of us, and that is, how much does the darn thing cost? Well, there's a certain amount of popular opinion that electric vehicles are more expensive than internal combustion engines. And once again, I have to say you need to do your homework because there are so many factors. So let's talk about some of those factors. Let's start off right off the bat with rebates and other incentives. Right now, there's a federal rebate to your federal income tax. It can be up to $7,500. When I say rebate, I really should be saying tax credit, and that means a credit to your taxes owed. So the credit can only be up to and including the amount of your taxes, although my belief is that those credits do roll over into following tax years if they can't all be used up in 1 year. And the state of Washington has got a plan where you get relieved of at least a part of your sales tax when buying your vehicle. I think the very best thing to do is shop around, talk to the dealers. They're expert in the area of incentives and other kinds of rebates and tax credits. It does tend to get a little complicated, and it even depends on the vehicle that you're buying in terms of how many of those vehicles from that manufacturer have gotten federal tax credits so far. So talk to your dealer, or more precisely, dealers. So one of the things I hear battered around on the subject of subsidies for electric vehicles is, why the heck should electric vehicles get subsidized? Why shouldn't they just stand on their own financially? Well, the reality is that subsidies are a part of life in our economy. There are subsidies all over the place. The oil industry gets subsidies somewhere around 10 to $1 billion a year in the United States, depending on how you measure. Of course, there's some debate about what exactly is a subsidy, and those who like to minimize subsidies talk only about direct subsidies. That would be kind of like the dictionary definition of subsidy. And others talk about special tax treatment and so on and so forth. If an industry doesn't have to pay a tax that everybody else has to pay, it might not meet the dictionary definition of subsidy, but seems like it adds up to about the same thing. Our farmers receive lots of subsidies. They're getting more subsidies because of the tariff program that's damaged farm exports. The ethanol industry received subsidies for a number of years. Lots of folks listening to me right now are getting a subsidy in the terms of the income tax deduction for home interest. It's once again, it's a subsidy that's disguised within the tax system. And looking back historically, you know, the railroads got given about half of the west of the United States to bring the railroads out here. And so it's not uncommon to give industries in their early stages some kind of government incentives, especially if they're considered to be something desirable looking downstream, as electric cars certainly are, and we'll talk more about that here in a second. Okay, so why electric? And this is a climate show, so we're going to talk about why electric to a certain extent in those terms. And the simple answer is reduce carbon dioxide emissions. Carbon dioxide emissions from transportation make up a large part of the carbon dioxide pollution we're experiencing, which in turn is leading to warmer climates and the changes in our weather that those warmer climates cause. But there are lots of other good reasons to own an electric car besides your concern for the environment. Lower maintenance costs, for starters. Electric motors have very few moving parts, like less than 100, whereas a typical internal combustion engine has thousands of parts. And as you know, they all need to work together pretty nicely, and they have to be regularly maintained with oil changes and other kinds of checkups and lubrications and so on. So maintenance in electric vehicles is way lower. For instance, on my Nissan Leaf, the 7,500-mile checkup, rotate tires. That was it. The 15,000-mile checkup, which is yet to come for me, rotate tires and clean and, if necessary, replace the air filter going into the passenger cabin. That's it. Extremely low maintenance. Okay, the electric vehicles are also far more efficient in terms of energy used. We've got a big cooling system on our internal combustion engine vehicles, the radiator and all the fluid that circulates around the engine to take off the excess heat. Turns out that almost 80% of the energy that goes into an internal combustion engine is lost in heat and other inefficiencies. On the other hand, electric motors are about 80% efficient. Only about 20% of the energy going into an electric motor is lost. So in terms of energy resources used, the electric vehicles win hands down. And so there's other things too, like the pollutants that come from fossil fuel. We talk a lot on this program about CO2, but there are lots of other pollutants that create health issues. There's estimates, reliable estimates, that somewhere around 100,000 people a year die prematurely from pollution from transportation fuels. And unfortunately, a big chunk of those people affected are less wealthy people, the folks that live along the freeways and close to industry and so on. They're the ones that are having to deal with that pollution. And of course, the electric vehicle doesn't leave any pollution in its wake at all. And, you know, the Pacific Northwest is a pretty ideal place for electric vehicles too, for the very good reason that especially right here in Tacoma, most of our electricity comes from hydro, clean energy. There's a tiny portion that comes from coal, and it's complicated why we do that. It's kind of a contractual thing, not necessary to meet demand. In fact, our hydro probably produces 10 to 15% more energy than we actually need, and we're selling off hydropower to other jurisdictions, our excess. So when we pump up our batteries in our electric vehicles, we're using clean energy, so we're just doing win-win all the way around in that regard. I will say that there are some areas that are more problematic for electric vehicles than right here in the Pacific Northwest. For instance, places that are either extremely hot, which calls for lots of air conditioning, which comes off the battery also, or places that are extremely cold, battery efficiency goes down in extreme cold. We don't have, generally speaking, either extreme cold or extreme hot here in the Northwest, so electric vehicles are pretty much ideal for this area. Now, nothing in the world is all wonderful, and there are some issues that we need to be clear about when it comes to electric vehicles. One of those is they have a carbon footprint in terms of the manufacture and the transportation of the vehicles to their eventual marketplace. So electric vehicles are not carbon free. If the vehicle is manufactured someplace where fossil fuels are used to make the electricity, that has to be plugged into the overall consideration of how efficient they are. And then there's the batteries. The batteries are lithium ion for the most part, and so that lithium ion has to be mined, it has to be refined, and it has to be transported and manufactured into the batteries. And that all has carbon footprints in its own right. This, of course, is because we're using fossil fuels for the manufacturing, the transportation process. But that's the way it is right now, so let's be real about this. The estimates are that it takes about 80,000 miles of your electric vehicle, if you're buying electricity in an area that also has fossil fuel generation of electricity. So that's 80,000 miles to break even with an internal combustion engine car. I don't have the specifics for where we live here, but because we have hydropower, that would be considerably less. And in the meantime, of course, you're not pumping out pollutants into our local environment. There's also the issue of what to do with the batteries when they've reached the end of their useful life. And the answer to that, of course, is recycling. And there are already firms that are established and have processes in place to recycle the elements that are part of those batteries. So costs, yeah, there, of course, and there are ways of mitigating or reducing those costs. But we're not talking about nirvana here. We're just talking about things being better with electric vehicles than with internal combustion engines. Okay, one of the things that newcomers to electric vehicles are concerned about right off the bat, I certainly was, is, okay, how far can I go on a full charge, and how long does it take me to get charged up again, and where the heck can I get charged up? Well, there are several factors that relate to what your range is going to be. First of all, of course, is the innate range of the particular vehicle battery system that you purchase. And it's real clear that that's getting better and better over time. My Leaf is advertised at about 180-mile range. That would be without climate control on. What I find is, in actual practice, I use the heater quite a bit in the winter, and I use air conditioning in the summertime. Just because I got an electric vehicle doesn't mean I have to be uncomfortable. And I find that in the, quote, real world, unquote, my range is right around 160 miles on a full charge. There are certainly vehicles on the market right now that have ranges up over 300 miles, and we can expect that to continue. However, the reality is that most folks only drive 30, 40 miles a day, and so range ceases to be too much of a concern unless you have a long trip planned. I've certainly done some longer local trips. Had a day where I drove up to Seattle, then down to Olympia, then back to Tacoma, and had plenty of range for that. The only time I've had to recharge was a trip I did out to Aberdeen a few months ago, and I had to stop into the Nissan dealer in Olympia and charge up on their high-speed charger. had to wait for the charger for about 20 minutes, and then it took me about 30 minutes to get charged back up to get me back home. There's an expression, open quote, range anxiety, close quote, and I certainly experienced that when I first purchased the vehicle. I was looking at the range all the time, and the reality is that I don't do that much anymore. In fact, I very rarely charge my battery up fully, because battery life is extended if you keep it somewhere between 30 and 80%. So that's basically where I keep it. So I just partially charge it up every night. If I know I'm going to be doing a longer trip the next day, then I just charge her up to 100% overnight. And so, like a lot of things, electric cars do require a little learning curve and a little adjustment, and planning is a little different than when you use the old internal combustion engine. So I mentioned climate control. How much climate control you use affects your range. Another thing that affects it significantly is speed. If I go out on the freeway and I'm doing 70 miles an hour, it seems like I use up my miles significantly faster than if I just drive the speed limit of 60. Okay, I mentioned my home charging station, so folks will be interested in how much that cost. When I purchased my car, it came with a cable with a charging unit on it, and so I contacted my local friendly electrician. Fortunately, my electric panel is in my garage, and I was able to put an outlet right next to my electric panel, and the cable would reach my car to charge it. And the total bill for that was $100. That included the cost of the 50-amp plug and the electrician's time. I have another friend who just recently bought also a 2018 Leaf. He bought it used, and he had to run a line from his panel to the car just because of the way things were laid out, and that cost him about $300. So when you start looking at the $4,000 to $5,000 you'll save over 5 years just over fuel costs, and that includes the cost of your electricity to charge the batteries. The costs of getting set up are pretty okay. I've been talking exclusively about electric vehicles, pure electric vehicles here, so just a little aside about hybrids. Hybrids certainly have their place. They've been around for a long time, and in simplest terms, they have two sources of propulsion, typically a gasoline-powered engine that charges a battery, that runs the electric motor, and also the gasoline-powered engine can operate the vehicle if the battery is flat. One of the cool things about hybrids is that electric motors are really good at acceleration, way better than internal combustion engine, whereas in terms of energy used, internal combustion engines tend to be better just cruising along doing the long haul. So they are pretty interesting in that regard. Of course, the main consideration in having a hybrid versus an electric vehicle would be extended range, because basically you can go forever with a hybrid vehicle just by stopping off and buying gasoline. So if you go shopping for either a hybrid or a pure electric vehicle, you'll be interested in the performance of the various ones. I'm talking about the energy use performance. And there's this new thing, it's called miles per gallon equivalent. And so basically there's a sticker on the car, if you're looking at a new one, that tells you what the equivalent miles per gallon of this electric or hybrid vehicle, what the miles per gallon are. And interestingly enough, they're always up around 100, 110, 120 miles per gallon. And that's taken into account the entire carbon footprint of the vehicle. So you can see how incredibly efficient they are versus an internal combustion engine. Okay, how about infrastructure? Where are we going to charge these puppies up? Well, I got to say, the infrastructure's got a long, long way to go. There are charging stations out there, and there are systems, and you can charge your car, but there's lots of problems. Just for starters, if you're away from home in a strange area, just finding the charging stations can be a challenge. When we drive down the freeway, there's big old signs sticking way up in the air advising when there's a gasoline station, and they're like shooting fish in a barrel to find. It's just not a challenge. Just not true, at least yet, about charging stations for electric vehicles. So you can have a map, and you will have a map. You can have all kind of apps that will help you with this. Apps that will show you where electric charging stations are. They'll even show you if they're in use, what kind of voltage they put out, and so on. But even with that, they can be hard to find. So when I first bought my electric vehicle, I decided to explore around a little bit, and the Tacoma Mall has got some charging stations. Well, knowing that they're in the parking lot of the mall is certainly a help, but it's a big parking lot, and it probably took me 10 minutes of driving around to finally find them. You know, they're just down low and hidden amongst all the parked cars, and they're not like a big high gasoline station sign. And so this brings us to the next thing that's somewhat of a challenge, and that is there enough of a supply of these charging stations? There were 4 charging stations there. Okay, that's probably a step in the right direction. But one of them was actually in use, actively charging. 2 of them had electric vehicles plugged in, but fully charged. Folks plug in their vehicle and just go off to the mall and have a nice time and come back whenever they feel like it. In the meantime, their charging station's not accessible. The 4th charging station just had a regular car parked there because it looked like a nice convenient spot, I imagine. So while I didn't need electricity in that moment, if I had, it would have been somewhat of an irritant to have to sit there and wait for folks to come back and move their cars and then get started on charging. The good news on the public charging stations is most of them are high speed. Not all, but a lot of them are high speed. So you can get charged up in 20 minutes or so when you get plugged in. I've checked out other charging stations. They've been problematic in some regards. They're either out of service, somebody else is parked there. I went to one charging station. The control panel was so messed up from exposure to the elements that I couldn't really read what it was saying. Went to another parking lot that had a charger in it. It was a 4-story parking lot at the airport. I must have spent 15 minutes in there trying to find the charger, never did find it, and just gave up. So this takes me back to what I said a little while ago. 99% of folks have a routine of charging their electric vehicle. They either just charge it at home, or they've got a charger where they work, or they go to school, or something like that. Or there's a place where they know they can go in and charge up conveniently and without having to hunt for a spot. Personally, I'm a long ways from being willing to do a cross-country trip in my electric vehicle. And if I do have to do a cross-country road trip, what I do is I rent an internal combustion engine, then to assuage my guilt for putting that pollutant out there, I purchase some carbon offset credits to make up for it. And I'll talk about those credits on some future program. There's another little interesting thing here that I'm going to toss out, and that is in talking to dealers, there's a sense that dealers aren't all that excited about selling electric vehicles. I haven't done any surveys to know whether this is true or not, but there's talk on this regard, and it does kind of make sense. And that is, dealers look at their maintenance departments as a significant source of their revenue. And as I've alluded a little earlier here, these electric vehicles require almost no maintenance. So the margin on selling a new vehicle is not all that great. So the electric vehicle car dealers have somewhat of a disincentive regarding electric cars. So it's something you need to make up your own mind about. Now, I will say that the Nissan dealer in Tacoma here, I thought it was pretty straightforward and enthusiastic about electric vehicles, but it's certainly something to keep your ear to the ground on. So let's talk about some mythology that's developed around electric vehicles. As with everything else in the world, folks are suspicious of new technologies. They like what they're accustomed to, what they're used to, and so they tend to look for reasons to not adopt the new technology, and the electric vehicles are no exception to this. So let's look at some of those myths. So one of the myths, in fact, this is the one I hear most of all, is you're just switching from oil to coal if you have an electric car. That is, you use oil for an internal combustion engine if you're charging up your battery, since so much of the electricity in the United States is produced by coal, then you're just swapping one for the other. Well, like most myths, there is a tiny grain of truth here. That is, there are some specific locations in the United States where the combination of the weather and where the electricity comes from, i.e., pretty much exclusively from coal, that you may be worse off in terms of carbon pollution with an electric vehicle than with an internal combustion engine. But as I said, this is a tiny portion of the United States. The big issue is that electric motors are incredibly efficient in terms of energy use compared to internal combustion engine motors. I've talked about that a little bit earlier. So even if you are getting electricity that's not from a clean source, your footprint with an electric vehicle is going to be considerably less. And of course, finally, here in the Pacific Northwest, especially in Tacoma, we're blessed to have clean energy. So we're putting clean energy into our vehicles, and we're 100% reducing our carbon footprint from transportation. Another myth is if all the cars started being electric, we'd have to build more coal plants. Well, not so. As you can imagine, a big bulk of the charging of electric vehicles is done at nighttime when there's low demand for electricity anyway. So there's plenty of existing capacity to charge up the electric vehicles, to charge it up at night when other demand is low and where there's extra resource available. Another myth is that it's going to be problematic what to do with the batteries at the end of their useful life. I've addressed that a little bit. They definitely can be recycled. There's lots of good stuff in those batteries. They're valuable even though they're not functional as electric vehicle batteries. In fact, they're still functional for lots of other things in terms of electric storage. And so their useful life is probably out 20, 30 years to get them fully used. Another myth is the electric bill will go way up. No, it won't. The cost of electricity for your car adds up to about 1.5 cents a mile, so the gasoline you save is more than made up for the electricity you use. And of course, here in the Northwest, we're fortunate to have pretty inexpensive electricity. I'll tell you the truth, I really haven't noticed any difference in my electric bill since I started charging my electric car. And I haven't been to a service station for gasoline for 2 years other than occasional car rental. One last thing here, I hear people saying, well, it's not fair that EVs don't pay for highways because our highways are paid for via the fuel taxes. And just not so, we pay a separate $150 charge every year to make up for the fact that we're not paying those fuel taxes. So that's about it on electric vehicles for today. While they're a great resource and a great way of reducing our carbon pollution over time, electric vehicles alone aren't going to get us there. We have to, most of all, invest in clean energy production via solar, wind, hydro, and related non-carbon sources of electricity. When we do that, the combination with the electric vehicles is very powerful in terms of reducing our carbon dioxide output and also in terms of reducing those pollutants that are killing people all over the world every year. World Health Organization estimates that something like 7 million people a year are dying prematurely from pollution from internal combustion engines. So that's it. Great talking to you. John Doherty here for KTAH 101.9, telling you, remember to always live like the mountain's out.